I think anytime someone says something that I think is kind of off, it's very difficult not for me to not make a face. Like,
yes.
Like a, you know, like a very obvious face. Like, I did a big frown. My emotions, I think, are very, because I'm not trying to hide it. If I were like in a situation where I'm like, I have to hide what I'm feeling right now, I can very much keep a straight face.
Right.
Cut to trying to talk certain very emotional people who were in my life in the past through like their emotions. I'll be like, okay, no matter what they say, I cannot react to it. And I'm prepared. But if I'm just out there in the wild, I'm mean. I'm mugging like they're like I'm on the office. Yeah. Like I'm looking at the camera, you know?
You're doing the fourth wall breaks.
Absolutely.
The head shaking. You don't even have to like make a face. It's just the wah, wah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knows. I remember I was teaching and I had like the teacher who I was working under because I was a teaching intern.
Right.
I had made a face at something she said and she was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I didn't want to tell her. It was something, it was just like a fleeting thought. So I was like, oh, that's just my face.
That's just, my face does that from time to time.
Like, don't question me. Come on. Anyway, I'm Shelby.
I'm Sam.
This is the Rom Complex.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. A meat suit. That's a suit. It's made out of meat. And you. And me. Me. And me. And you. Meat suit.
Rom Complex.
We have like, I feel like the last time we recorded, we were like, yeah, and today we're like, yeah, you know, we're here.
We're here. We're living life.
We
it's
are.
It's very warm where we are.
Oh my God. So warm. It's, I feel like a popsicle. Like, I feel like I'm constantly.
You're melting.
I'm melting constantly. I don't think the human body was designed to live in this temperature. I know that's not true, but I mean, gonna say that it is true.
I would have to do more research, I guess.
I mean, I'm not a scientist, which is why I'm saying it's probably not true, because I don't know, I just make shit up. But, you know, it's too much. I'm over it.
And it's not the first time you've been over something. I just had to work in the title of the movie we're talking about. We're talking about the first time.
I was like, no, it's really not. I'm over a lot of things, Shelby. I'm sincerely over a lot of things. Oh yeah, baby. Sam's back and she's here for revenge.
She's here for revenge. She had to get back at me for
making
her watch.
But I've wanted to talk about this movie for a very long time, simply because of my man, my husband, the future father to my fictional children. Dylan O'Brien's in this movie.
Dylan O'Brien is in this movie as a young child.
He is a literal baby. When I put it on to watch it, I was like, I forgot. This movie was filmed in 2012, which means he would have been like, what, like 21? Not even. How old are we? He's our age, or he's my age.
I was 22 in 2012.
So yeah, it would have been 21. Wow. That is a child.
It's a baby.
They don't even know how to tie their shoes at that age. You know what I mean?
And some people are in their 30s and still don't know.
That's
very
true.
I am calling
true.
Out my brother. It's Velcro, okay. He's got a PhD, but he cannot tie his shoes.
You don't need to learn to tie your shoes. Just wear Velcro or some slip-ons.
Exactly.
No one cares.
Exactly. He looks very young in this movie, and I know he's your man, but I'm looking at him and he's playing a senior in high school, and I'm like, that looks like a high school senior. I cannot see him as a sexual being. Now I see him with the bleach, the scumbag hair, oof. And I'm like, okay, oof. All right.
Yes, I see what beard, you got going. The kind of like this starving artist, like scruff looking thing that he's got going on right now. I'm just like, yes, daddy, please. I'll have some more.
Daddy, yes. So this movie is a virginity tale.
It is.
We've got a couple virgins here.
Just a couple of virgins on the path to losing their virginity.
At least this time. It's not just about a boy losing his virginity. It's about both of them.
Yes.
They're both looking to lose, yes. to have sex for the first time. So it's not like she's just there to be his sexual experience. Mm. She's even having though, her own.
Even, true. Even though he is the main character. So for the most yes. part, we do spend more time with Dylan O'Brien's character, Dave, than we do with Britt Robertson's character, Aubrey.
Right.
The virgins that were aforementioned.
So Dave's outside a party. We got classic high school party, people drinking and throwing up. You know, classic. All the parties. I didn't go to any parties like that in high school.
I didn't go to parties in high yeah, school.
I didn't get invited. It's always a party in my own head.
Yay!
Yay! Mental illness. So, he's outside a party trying to work up the courage to tell this girl, Jane.
Yes.
I think is her name.
Played by Victoria Justice.
Yeah, it is Victoria Justice. Trying to tell Jane that he is, like, in love with her. Mm-hmm. He's thinking about the way she tucks her hair behind her ears. He's thinking about the way...
So bad. The dialogue in this movie is absolutely awful, but even more so, like, the cringe level
yeah,
is so high. It's peak cringe.
It's high cringe. Yeah. That yeah. should actually be the next Met Gala theme, I think, is high cringe.
High cringe. Oh, my God. Call Vogue. What's her name?
Mr.
Anna
Met.
Wintour. Anna Wintour. Call Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour.
Call Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada. She'll call her right now.
Let me just dial that in. Beep, boop, beep, boop. I'll complete the call after the podcast recording. This is more important than Meryl.
You're right. You're so right.
So this movie starts out like a play. Like the first scene's like 20 minutes of... Mm-hmm. Dave trying to work up the courage to talk to Jane, and Aubrey comes and finds him talking to himself in the alley, and they have like mm-hmm. a 20-minute conversation. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, is this like a two-hander? Is this all we're gonna see? Is it gonna be like Before Sunrise? Like, you know, just them talking the whole time? I was curious. But no, it's not like that. It's just like that for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. The fake out. It's a classic fake out.
It was like a fake out, but I do think that this movie is very play-like in mm-hmm. that there are only a few locations
yes.
where they are, very limited number of characters, and like the scenes are not
yeah,
very
and
complex.
There's a shit ton of monologues.
So many monologues.
Yeah.
It's very...
It's like they don't shut up.
And I think that actually leads into the kind of cheesily delivered lines, because mm-hmm. play acting is a lot different from film acting.
Yeah.
And I feel like the actors were doing more play acting. You know, merely like Britt Robertson moving her face way too much. Like, girl, we can see it. We're right up in
girl,
there.
Girl, we're here. We're all here. We've been
you don't
here.
Have yeah, you don't have to move your face that much. Yeah. Like maybe I just think a little bit less.
Honestly, that's just I think how she acts in general from the other things that I've seen her in. That's, I mean, it's pretty much the same. So
well,
that's just her thing.
I was thinking maybe the director was like, do it like a play. And that's why I was trying to give her more credit than that. But
I mean, we can't.
If you
want to
take the credit away.
No, we can give it. Just give her the credit, Chelsea.
Just give her the credit.
Just give it to her.
Same with our boy Dylan.
Oh boy.
Though he did a little, he didn't move his face as much.
You're right. I think at that point he'd already been on Teen Wolf, so he probably had a good idea of like just what your face does on camera and like what to do and not to do. I don't know.
I mean, that's their job.
It is their job. But when you're like newer, obviously things mm-hmm. are different.
Yeah, I know. I tried to record a cute little video of myself where I was sort of acting out a scene. Mm-hmm. Dude, it looked horrible. I was
so awkward.
I was like, oh, I need to put all of that like under a veil. I'm moving my face way too much. Yeah. It looks so cheesy. Mm-hmm. I am not a naturally talented actor, as I always suspected film, I would be.
Film is a different beast. I remember I took a acting for film class a couple years ago. And the teacher of that class, basically, we had these like assignments where we would like have to learn lines and then we would do them in class on camera and then we watch them back, which absolutely awful, humiliating. I
hate
it. That
sounds terrible. Yeah.
It's torture. It's my own personal hell. but one of her biggest things was just thinking the thought is enough. Mm-hmm. You don't have to don't tell us anything with your face. Just think it. Just, are you sad? Just think that you're sad. Don't show us that you're sad. Just think that you're sad. And it really does change the delivery. So use that next time you're trying to record a fun little video.
Yeah. Okay. So don't tell them you're horny. Just think that you're horny.
And then just give them those bedroom eyes, baby.
Oh, yeah. I think I can manage that.
Yeah.
Aubrey comes in, interrupts Dave's little, you know, spiel, and they get to talking, and she's like, I have a boyfriend. He's older. You don't know him. Because that's what everyone says. And she says in a
classic
way that's
high
like,
school girl.
She might be lying, or she might not be. We don't know.
She's very weird. Like the
I
have set like rewatching this movie. I don't, you know, surprisingly enough, I don't watch this movie very frequently. I've probably seen it like one or two times. And it's mostly because Aubrey gives like manic pixie dream girl energy. And she is just way too chaotic for my delicate sensibilities. I'm like, she won't stop. Again, the monologue. She won't stop talking. She's like all these run-ons, but it feels just like for show and like, you know, whatever. So it just makes me really uncomfortable to listen to her talk. So you're right. When she's going on and on and on about this older boyfriend, because we barely know anything about her, but because of the way that she's delivering these lines, it's kind of like, she lying? Are we?
Yeah.
What is the truth?
Something that happens a couple times in this movie is like someone will do a monologue and then afterwards be like, oh my God, that was so stupid. I can't believe I just talked for that long.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you're writing something and you're like, wow, that was really dumb how bad that thing I just wrote is. But you wrote into the story like, wow, this is bad.
Yeah. It's like you're trying to neg. You're negging yourself before anyone else can neg you.
Right. It's like, but that doesn't make it good just because you're pointing out that it's bad. Yeah. I digress. This is a cute movie.
It is. It's cute. It's cute. It's a fun time. After, you know, Dave and Aubrey are talking for a little bit, she kind of gets out of him that he's in love with his longtime friend, Jane. And he very cringily reads a note that he had written that he wants to say to Jane at the party, basically confessing his love. and Aubrey immediately is like, no.
Yeah, right. He was reading this note and I was like, all right, get to the part where you just tell her you like her, because
I know
all of the rest of it is not going to matter. And then that's what Aubrey comes in and says is like, you know, she doesn't want to hear any of that stuff.
Yeah.
What she says is she's like, she's just looking for someone. She's freaked out all the time and she's looking for someone who's less freaked out than she is to be like, hey, you know.
If that ain't all good. The biggest truth, that is so true. Even now, as a 30-plus-year-old woman, I I'm just looking for someone who can calm my crazy ass down. Because guess what?
Yeah.
The life that I'm creating in here, the constant dialogue and intrusive thoughts, yeah, I can entertain myself for hours. I need someone to like de-escalate me.
Well, guess what, Sam? I think you're going to need to trust someone in order for them to be able to do
absolutely not.
That.
Absolutely friggin' not.
It doesn't just happen by magic. So... I thought that was really insightful that like, oh, she's just looking for someone less freaked out than she is, because I think that really does seduce people. If someone's like, hey, I got this covered, like just a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
You can just kind of fall back on them.
Yeah.
And it feels so good to be like, oh, my gosh, they have it taken care of. You know,
right.
Where I'm a little freaked out, but they're calm. So it must not be too bad.
I also think that, like, the whole idea of him basically confessing his love to Jane in this very rom-com way, I don't think people actually, like, take the time to realize how real people would react to a situation like this. So, like, in the movie, right, the romantic lead runs in the rain to his intended, and he says all these things about the hair behind the ear and the way that you laugh and whatever, and it's all romantic, and you... make out and you're in love and you get married or whatever. But like from Jane's perspective, imagine having someone you consider a good guy friend show up to you at a party and all of a sudden out of nowhere, whether she suspected it or not. And like, you know, I kind of said in our Instagram stories the other week that like having a woman, a female character, not intuitive and not really realize what's going on around her is completely bullshit. But let's just say, for argument's sake, she has no idea his interest in her. To have him just go on and on and on about all the romanticized things he has about you and your mannerisms and all this shit. And you're just like, what? I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
I didn't see you that way. This is awkward.
For sure.
It's not going to land well.
It's not going to land well. And I've had people do pretty romantic things. I'm thinking of this like one instance where like my guy friend, he had mentioned something about like a Valentine's Day gift. I'm like, I have a boyfriend. It'd be weird for you to get me a Valentine's Day gift. I'm just not comfortable with that. So he gave me a gift the day after Valentine's Day. And it, like, he left it in my saxophone case and wrote a note with it. And it was a new... it was a new neck strap for my saxophone. It was something I needed. It was a great gift. But it's still, even though it was a great gift, romantically given, it still made me uncomfortable, you know, because it's not the right context for that.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that you're risking when you're, when you're not reading the room and you're trying to do these big, you know, you're a
romantic
teen and you're trying to do big romantic gestures and you don't have the romantic context to support it.
No.
You gotta support your romance.
You
with
gotta
context.
Support it.
You gotta, so I don't know why I look like I'm holding like balls.
Lemons.
Oh, sure. I'm talking about the biggest balls you can imagine. And you're
it's
going straight to
ball.
Citrus.
Yeah.
Okay. So the party gets broken up.
Yes.
By the cops. Dave and Aubrey end up walking to her house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, come on in. I'm not going to.
She's like, do you want to come upstairs?
Like. Do you want to come upstairs? I'm not going to doink you or anything is what she says. I'm like, does anyone say that?
No one has ever said that, actually. That word doesn't exist.
But obviously she's thinking about, like, she grabs a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying to be
an adult.
Sexy.
Yeah. Which is absolutely hilarious to me watching this, because you're right. Even though at the time, Britt and Dylan were like 21, 22 around there. They were still playing high schoolers. And I think the way that they act specifically in this scene makes me go, these are children.
Yeah.
Like, she's just one of my favorite bits is when she's like, oh, do you want something to drink? And he's like, you know, what are you drinking? And she's like, well, I'm going to have a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you like, but it's just like this delivery of like, I'm an adult and this is normal. I do this all the time. I just have wine at night.
And we, as the audience, can tell, like, this girl does not do this. She's never
well,
done
yeah,
this before
in her
life.
Well, yeah, she fucks up the cork. And, like, here, I'm 31 years old, and I've fucking accidentally, you know, gotten the cork out wrong or got cork in the wine or whatever. Yeah. But, like, you can tell in that moment she can't even use a fucking bottle opener.
Right. It's so cute, though, because then when Dave gets some of the cork, he just,
yeah,
secretly takes it out and like doesn't say anything about it, because, you know, as a teen, something like that happens and you're like, this is my fault somehow. Like, I can't say this. This is embarrassing.
This is normal,
me.
Right? I can't ask anybody, but it's normal, right?
So I really like in this scene where they start talking about like sex and love and stuff like that. And he's talking about. And because she's trying to get him to talk about sex, because this girl wants to bang, like she obviously does. She is still like, I have a boyfriend. He's older, you wouldn't know him. and so Dave talks about Jane and how he feels about her, and then he talks about how he's had sexual fantasies about this other girl at school because, you know, she's like mean.
Yeah,
and so. There's kind of this dynamic going on of like, oh, the good girl, you want to be your girlfriend, and the mean girl you fantasize about having sex with.
Yes.
And then
the virgin and the skank.
Exactly. That's what Aubrey says. And then she immediately says something kind of mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, because she's trying to fucking bang. And then she lays down all seductive. I mean, what a teen thinks is seductive.
Right.
Like, this scene is so well done because... Yeah. As an adult, you're like, oh, my God, these are just children acting this way. And she's like, so which one am I? You know?
Yeah.
Am I the girlfriend or the skank?
Yeah. And then Dave's response, man, he's like, this is the not like other girls moment. Yeah. Because he's like, I don't think I've ever met anyone like you.
Yeah.
Okay. Relax. I went to high school with at least three of these girls. Okay. At least three. But yeah, I think it's one of those moments where Aubrey's really taking the wheel in this whole thing, which I mean, rightfully so. I do think that she invited him inside. She's the one talking about sex. So she's really like driving this whole car. I don't know what metaphor I started using.
Putting the gas pedal on
pedal
the
to the pedal to the flags. I don't know. And Dave clearly, like, you can also tell that Aubrey has maybe a little more experience when dealing with, you know, boys or people that she's interested in, because she's playing her role really well. She's playing that like, oh yeah, I'm just like a cool girl who like sometimes talks about sex, but I've never had it. But like, I'm artistic and I think all these things and I like to have conversations. Like, she is embodying that manic pixie dream girl energy.
And that's another thing I like about her character is like, you can see this is a character who isn't, she's not a manic pixie dream girl character. She's a girl acting like a manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't written as like, oh, this is a, you know, what we think of a, you know what I mean,
right?
Okay?
She's not like a two-dimensional character, right.
She's aware of the trope,
Dave. Yeah.
And therefore playing into it on purpose.
Yeah.
Which guilty have done.
Yeah.
Could 100%. You even believe looking at me that I have indulged myself in some manic pixie dream girl behaviors.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, this girl definitely watched Garden State. You know what I mean? And like wrote down every single thing Natalie Portman did to create this character. And Dave is just completely blind. He's like, I don't, what? Yeah, I'm cool.
It's very convincing.
Yeah.
He's
just
a
bumbly little boy.
Small little boys who want to have sex.
Who want to have sex
and like want to be kind of swept off their feet a little bit.
Yeah, he's a little romantic,
dude. Men can be so romantic. Like, they want to get swept off their feet.
Oh yeah,
just as much as women do.
Oh yeah,
and
they
do. I take advantage of that knowledge.
The divergenator. Oh, yeah, she does.
Not okay. That makes it sound like I purposely sought out virgins to fuck with them, and I did not do that.
Oh, okay.
Though someone recently was like, you should just let the virgins have sex with other virgins. And I'm like, that's a good point. But, like, at the time, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't, like, I didn't feel like I was experienced, yeah, no. You know.
But also, kind of like, why wouldn't you just have sex with whoever you're interested in or dating, regardless of whether or not they've had sex?
Yeah.
Just fucking do it, you know? Yeah, so they, you know, they do their little thing, the little sitting on the bedroom floor, drinking their wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, okay, so this is where this is going to be a running theme throughout the episode. This is a moment in which Aubrey takes Dave's hand and then she basically pulls it over her and they were like spooning and they fall asleep and wake up.
Yeah.
This is the first moment in the film where I told myself in my brain, damn, his hands are so hot. Wow, he has great hands and forearms. That man, hairy as hell in the best way possible.
I can't say that I noticed.
He's got those veiny bits. He's got strong hands. Listen, Dylan O'Brien has strong hands. This is something I know personally as his future wife. This is the first moment in the movie where the camera like pans specifically to his hands, and I was like, "Whew, okay, girl, calm it down."
I do like a strong hand.
Yeah, I know. That's why I sent you that TikTok video with the bed sheets. Anyway,
oh my god.
Should
we get all of our male friends to send videos of themselves?
Yes, we should. Grabbing the bed sheets. I'll put it on the to-do list. That's fantastic.
Dude, none of my male friends are sexy.
Let's solicit strangers on the internet to do it and see what happens.
Sounds good.
So they fall asleep
and then cuddled, they wake up in the morning.
Yeah. To the sounds of Aubrey's mom knocking on the door saying, "Hey, honey, it's time to get up."
And Aubrey's freaking the fuck out.
Yep.
She's like, "You got to get out the window." She throws this boy out the window.
He jumps, to be fair.
She tosses him, complete defenestration, out into the wild.
He
could have broken an ankle. No, he's fine. He's still trying to talk to her. He doesn't have her number or anything. Yeah.
He only has like the first three digits.
And then he's got to run away.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone's coming out of the house. And then he goes, meets up with his friends and tells them all about it. And I was like, dang, I was hoping this would be a two-hander, just them in the movie. No, we got to deal with his little friends. Well, he's got a little friend, his little British friend. And then he's got a little friend and a big friend.
His little British friend.
He's got a little British friend.
Yeah. Who says a lot of not great things.
There's always the friend.
There's always the friend.
There's always the little friend.
Always the little one.
The creepy little friend who talks too much, who acts like he knows more than he does, but is very confident in his lack of knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
And that's this little British guy.
Little British friend. Yeah. I don't even know his name. I didn't even write it down. I didn't care.
It's something British, like fucking Cambridge.
Roger.
Or something.
Did you say Cambridge?
Yeah.
So, it's London.
London. Yeah. Oxford.
Brighton Beach.
Yeah.
So they're talking about it. They attempt to get Aubrey's number through some mutual friends. So it's established at the beginning of the movie that Dave and Aubrey don't go to the same school.
Right.
So they hang out in different crowds. This is just kind of a neighborhood or like a neighbor's party or whatever. So they call a friend who also goes to Aubrey's school trying to get her information. That doesn't really work. And then he is able to get the house number because he has been to the house. He knows the address. He's able to get the home phone number, which, wow, those don't exist anymore.
They sure don't.
And calls her house. Her dad answers, which is just so awkward. I don't know. It's weird. I'm so glad home phones don't exist anymore because I would never want to do that.
Did you ever have to do that, though?
Call someone's home phone?
I mean, did you ever have to call the home phone of someone like that you liked?
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. I remember in middle school, we used to I had two really good friends and we would have like sleepovers on the weekends and stuff. And she had a crush on a boy. And I remember I was the emissary. So I think I probably had like a little crush on him, but I was doing the good friend thing where I was like, okay, I have a crush, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. Like I'll D up and make the phone call. Right. So I would be the one to call and ask for the boy, and then he would get on the phone, and then I would like hand the phone off to her. So I basically had to bite the bullet for my friend because I'm a great loyal bitch.
So you were the brave one.
I am the brave one. Yes.
Yeah.
I have no problem talking on the phone. Like, I know a bunch of people who don't even like to call to set like doctor's appointments, or I don't care about that.
If it's for me, I hate it. I'm so terrified to make phone calls. But doing that for someone else, I would have it instantly. I would That's be able so to funny. Do it.
I have no. I love talking. As you know, I love talking on the phone. So
yeah, this bitch will FaceTime me out of nowhere.
Yeah. Hey.
And I'll answer.
Hell
I will
yeah.
answer. If someone is FaceTiming me, I'm like, that happens so rarely that I'll answer.
So now I will only FaceTime. I will never call you
If
again.
You call me, I answer your calls.
Because I'm special.
Yeah, unless I'm like not at my phone. You know?
Right. Unless you're unavailable.
But you are special and I like talking to you. Oh. And I'm usually not like, oh, Sam's calling. It must be an emergency, a disaster. Yeah. I'm like, Sam's calling. She wants to talk to me while she's driving. That's so nice.
I have friends that I'll call randomly just like to say hi. Friends who know that I like talking on the phone. And without fail, every single time they answer the phone, they're like, hello? As if I've never called them before. As if they don't know what's going on. And I'm like, bitch, you should not be surprised. This is what I do. Anyway.
Right. You know me. So they end up deciding. Dave calls Aubrey and is like, and she's like, I'm going to the movies tonight with Ronnie, my boyfriend who really exists. And and he's like, oh, what a coincidence. I'm also going to the movies.
With my friends and also Jane. Who, so they all, if you remember, I'm in love with.
Exactly. They all meet up at the movies. Jane's there. Ronnie, who is real, is there. He sucks.
Yeah.
Imagine a 20-something-year-old guy who hangs out with high schoolers.
Yeah. Disgusting.
They nailed that character.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Because he is exactly the kind of guy where he'll be like, he's too cool for what's going on, but he also is like, oh, I have all this wisdom. He's like, you guys are too young to know this. You'll learn or whatever. But he's full of shit, like completely.
He's just like an idiot. Yeah. He's what's funny is that he's an Australian actor. And I know he was on a couple episodes of New Girl. He dated Cece at one point. He was like the young Australian boy that she dates for like 3 episodes. But he was also in this really weird movie that I've seen called Adore. Have we talked about this film?
No.
It's an Australian film with, what's the lady from House of... Robin Wright.
Is that the one where
they fuck each other's kids?
And they fuck each other's sons?
Yes. He's one of the sons. He's one of the sons. And I saw him in this movie again, like, realizing who he was. And I was like, oh my God. The range this boy has? Give him an Oscar.
Give him an Oscar. I agree. Because he nailed that character.
Yeah. Do you know who the other son is? It's the guy from Twilight that played the... what is his name? He's like not part of the main characters, but he's like the one that Victoria turns in Seattle.
Oh,
whatever
yeah.
that guy's name is, he's the other son.
Nice.
Yeah.
He was a cutie.
Yeah. Riley, that's his name in Twilight.
I thought Riley was the girl.
No, that was Brint. Yeah, it was Brint.
Okay, yeah. Riley.
I think it's Bree, actually. I think Bree is the name of the character.
Bree
Tanner?
Tanner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're Twilight fans over here.
Oh my God. Brint.
So That's so Brent. So Robbie sucks. They're at the movie. And he like doesn't want to see it. It's like a rom-com or something. He like doesn't want to see it, which lame.
Don't they go to see, don't they see like an action movie or something instead?
Right. So that's what they go to. He's like, oh, I don't want to see that rom-com, blah, blah, blah. Let's go see this or whatever. Anyway, they're all in the same theater. There's like glances between so Dave and Aubrey. Aubrey's with her boyfriend, obviously. And Dave is all snuggled up with Jane.
But.
And that's the point that I'm like, Jane knows what she's doing, number
Jane
one.
Absolutely knows she's what
she's doing.
She's
not stupid. Yeah.
How would you not know? And yeah, it's just clear she's like, oh, this is my guy friend. I can get affection from him mm-hmm. without any strings attached and without having to commit. She's a fuckboy.
Yeah, she is.
So
a fuckboy with her hair behind her ears.
So there are so many glances to the point where Aubrey leaves the theater.
Right. She's so overwhelmed by all the glances.
And then Dave follows her out because
he's like a little puppy. He's like a little puppy dog with hearts in his eyes, mm-hmm. runs after her. And again, we have a theatrical monologue type situation between mm-hmm. the two of them in the lobby of the movie theater.
Right. And again, she's like, did I just monologue? That was so stupid. It's yeah. like, yeah, you, fuck it. The writer wrote those lines yeah. into the movie and then wrote the line saying that those lines were stupid.
Like, I think the writer just thinks that anytime a girl goes on about her how she feels, that she thinks everything she just said was stupid. So she has to make a comment like that.
I have been guilty of making comments like that of like, oh, you know, I've said too much. But usually there's like an effect. Like, you know, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do know what you're doing.
I absolutely do. Well, because it's that kind of like, does that make sense? When you start to sound too confident, you run the risk of someone trying to tear you down.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, sometimes it's tactical, it's strategic yeah. to throw a little lack of confidence in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that
yeah.
you don't seem too alarming to other people.
Can't relate. I'm a Taurus. Anyway, yeah. you know, they have this conversation. It's revealed. I don't know if it's revealed here or if it's revealed earlier, but she's decided she's going to sleep with Robbie. Right? That's his name? Ronnie. No, it's Ronnie.
Ronnie. It's after the, it's at the party after the movie.
Oh, yes.
Because then. Kidding. After the movie, you know, they have this little moment at the movie theater. It's interrupted by Ronnie.
Of course.
They all go to a party afterwards mm-hmm. at one of, like, Jane's friends' places or whatever. Right. Aubrey goes out and ends up talking with Jane
mm-hmm.
and hearing about, you know, how Dave is so great. And she's like, you know, all these guys I meet. Jane gets to have a nice little monologue about how much mm-hmm. guys suck.
Yeah. love it.
But talking about how, like, Dave is really great. And Aubrey's yeah. like, this is, a, like, why are you? I mean, you can see in her face. She's like, oh, you're like, this guy's, like, in love with you. You're,
yeah.
like, taking advantage.
Yeah. 100%.
Meanwhile, Ronnie gets stuck with, or like Dave gets stuck talking to Ronnie, and Ronnie's right. like, I'm gonna fuck that girl. I mean, he yeah. doesn't say that. He's like, we're gonna have sex tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, Dave goes to Aubrey and is like, don't have sex with that guy.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Which I think is very earnest of Dave. I do think Dave is, like I said, a romantic, but I do also think he's very idealistic. You can tell that, like, earlier in the movie when he's talking to his friends about it, he's just like, you know, I don't want to just bang some girl. Like, I want to, mm-hmm. you know, he's very, like, young and sees the world as this, like, beautiful, easy place. So when he goes to her and it's just like, yes, he's in love with her at this point already and yeah. saying, don't have sex with that guy. But it's not like he's going to her and being like, don't have sex with that guy. Have sex with me right now instead.
No, it's more like, that guy talked about you in a really fucked yeah. up way. Mm-hmm. Like, don't have sex with that guy.
Yeah.
And
also, he's old.
He's disgusting. He should not want to have sex with
a 16-year-old. Yeah.
So her whole deal is, like, it's going to have to happen at some point. It's not going to be good. it's not going to be fun. I'm not going to enjoy myself. Yeah. So I just want to do it in a way that's safe. And I think Ronnie is like at least safe because I've seen his test results. Like,
And I think she also means safe in the emotional aspect because it's very clear she doesn't actually like this guy. So she's just kind of like, well, he doesn't have any STDs and I'm not at risk of falling in love with him. So let's just get it over with, which like kudos. I think that's actually a very like pragmatic way to at losing your virginity.
I mean, the specific quote that kind of stood out to me was that she's like, it's not my virginity. She's like, it's not some treasure I have to guard. And you know how I feel about placing so much importance on virginity.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And I think that there is a middle ground, though, between how she's going about it and the whole, you know, when I first kissed a guy, it was in a movie theater when I was 13. We were watching Bruce Almighty. Some guy named Randy. He was like 16 or 17.
Randy.
And I was 13. Like, what are you doing? Why are you as a 16 or 17 year old making out with a 13 year old?
Weird.
Good
question. That guy's a sex offender now. Just.
I mean, anyway, he was like, we were talking about sex a little bit. And he's like, what? You want it to be like magical? Then like do it in a library after you read a fairy tale or something. It's not there's nothing magical about it. And so like the way he was talking to me about that, first of all, it was so much like that scene in eighth grade that when I watched the movie eighth grade, I had a moment. The scene where she's like in the car and the older guy is like, you know, trying to convince her to like take off her shirt or something. So anyway, that's what her talking about, how like it's not going to be good. It's not going to be magical. It's just going to eventually be good at some point. It's like it kind of reminded me of that, of like what that guy was trying to convince me of. And it's like there is a middle ground. Lots of people have their first sexual experience, even though it's not particularly pleasurable. It is not like bad. It's not scary. It's not traumatic. It's like,
just because it's your first time doesn't necessarily default that it will be a bad time.
Right. Overall. It can still be fun, or at least just like, all right, you know,
like mildly uncomfortable at moments, but
still like, you know, you're still like going, you're still,
you still want to do it again. Like you're like, that was, but we can try again.
Yeah. So I do think that there is that middle ground where it's like, okay, it is just a thing you're getting out of the way, but that doesn't mean it has to be with someone you don't give a shit about.
Right.
So I was kind of on Dave's side for that part.
No, yeah. I like the character of Aubrey, like I said, is very like layered because she has that I feel like her whole monologue about this isn't some treasure, I might as well do it with someone safe, is the manic pixie dream girl energy that she's been trying to get. She's like, I'm just over it. And I'm just going to do the things that I want to do. You know what I mean? Like it's that vibe. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think the whole reason that Dave and Aubrey work is that they kind of understand each other very quickly. And Dave can tell, he's like, listen, sure, you want it to be non-magical or whatever, that's fine. But you do not want it to be with this guy.
Right.
Like, I can tell you, you don't. You just don't. And so, yeah. I mean, it ends with Dave being like, because she keeps going on and on and on, and he's just kind of like, so you dig me, huh? Because clearly, she does.
She does. She likes him. And he thinks, he was like, this is so, he leaves that encounter being like, this is such a stupid thing to say, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she goes home with Ronnie. After Dave and Ronnie have like a fight. Cause Dave.
Almost a fight.
Dave and Aubrey are about to like kiss. And
yeah.
Kiss.
Kiss.
They're going to kiss. And then Ronnie walks in and like, anyway, Ronnie's like, or Dave's like, don't talk to her like that. Hold up the thing. Whatever. Aubrey and Ronnie leave. They go home. She doesn't have sex with him. She breaks up with him. And she calls our boy Dave.
Our boy.
And is like, hey, I broke up with Ronnie. Let's hang out. And then they just drive around.
Yeah. They drive around. They hold hands. Super cute.
And then they make out.
And then after seeing, we didn't mention this before, but there's like this car of kids who don't matter from the night previous that offered them a ride. They said no because these kids were kind of weird. They were probably doing drugs. The marijuana. Mm-hmm. And they see that exact same car in like a car wreck. And it freaks Aubrey out. So she has to like run. He like drives into a parking lot. And she's like about to vomit or whatever, and she's just freaking out, and Dave walks up behind her. He's like, man, it's like, it's so messed up, but you know, like trying to comfort her, which is really sweet. And so then they start making out, and then they kiss a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're into each other.
And then openly. Bam, next day or next something day. Yeah. Her parents are like going out for the night.
Yeah. And which she's like I just have to say, this movie is supposed to span like a weekend. Like the first party was supposed to have been on a Friday. But it makes no sense to me. Because if the first party was on a Friday, that means the movies was on Saturday. That means her parents are going out on a Sunday for a gala. Not likely. When was the last time they scheduled any kind of big event on a fucking Sunday?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a long weekend.
Maybe. Holiday weekend. You're right. You're right. I didn't think about
it. And the party was on a Thursday and then they had Friday off.
Right. Something.
But her parents are going out. So she's like, hey, Dave, you want to come over?
And he's like, fuck yeah.
And then they start making out.
Yeah.
Of course. And then they're like, wait. We shouldn't do anything that'll ruin this like friendship we have.
Right.
And then they... and then they start making out again, and then they have sex.
And then they have sex. Listen,
it's very awkward.
It's so number one, Dave is super sweet. He brings over a whole box of like magazines for her collaging. She collages. Yeah. That's her artsy thing. And you know, they're talking and stuff, and it's immediately sexually charged. You know, it's like him walking up behind her, which like, girl.
Yeah.
Kryptonite.
Kissing that her is neck
my
and stuff.
That is my kryptonite.
Absolutely.
When they decide, okay, we're not going to do anything, they're like, you know, we're not going to let adults think that we're these crazy teenagers who can't control themselves. Like, of course we can control ourselves. And then they just like stare at each other for a solid like 30 seconds. And then they're just like, fuck it. And then immediately we're like, move into the next thing. He didn't bring a condom. She has condoms in her bathroom. And then it just like fades to black. Obviously, we're not going to watch teenagers have sex. But the next like scene is so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. It has Aubrey coming out of the bathroom. Now she's wearing like baggy clothes. She's clearly just out of the shower. Dave is like on the bed awkwardly. And they're both kind of just like, what did we do wrong? Like neither of them had fun. Neither of them.
It wasn't good. Neither of them liked it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like, it was weird because like at first things were going good. It was kind of hot and heavy. And then once they pulled out the condom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, just put it on. And then he's like jerking himself off to get it on. And I'm like, okay, they don't know how to have sex.
Yeah.
Like they just don't know how to do it. Because they really killed their momentum and went into like a silly thing. And of course, like she needed a lot more foreplay. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't know these things. They're children. Right. And we don't teach this in schools.
Right.
How to have good sex.
How
do you think we should?
We should, 100%.
Yeah, I kind of think so, too. It's such a natural part of life that it seems so like there are certain things that we should be teaching people about their own bodies.
Yeah,
but 100%. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, so you can see like where it starts to go wrong, and you're like, maybe they'll pull it together. They do not. It's bad for both of them. Mm-hmm. They're both trying to avoid blaming each other, but also not wanting to blame themselves.
Right.
And it just is very weird, and he leaves, and they're like, this was a bad idea. She says some pretty mean stuff of just like, you know, that basically implying that she didn't really care about him.
Yeah.
And was just, you know, doing what she was going to do with Ronnie and just getting it over with.
Right.
And so, of course, both of them are very hurt and upset, and they part ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But and then, that's where it ends. No, I'm kidding.
That's where it ends. That's over. No, of course, then they each have the it could have ended there, right? Yeah. Like, and that would be the story. But instead, there's all this stuff. You know, he talks to his friends a bit, and his big friend, not the stupid little one, but the
not
big,
the little
smart
British
one,
guy.
He's like, you know, if you actually, even if the sex was bad, because he's like, oh, maybe we just don't fit. It's like, you, that's something you learn how to do. If you actually care about this person, even though you guys only knew each other for a weekend, like, it's worth trying to get to know this person more and continuing to go after this. It was very logical and emotional. It's like, you know, best of both worlds. Great advice from the only Black character.
Yes. The only person of color at all in the entire film.
And she's kind of going through the same thing, right? Where she talks to her parents and she's like, I pushed this guy away. I feel really bad about it. I think that, you know, I really cared for him. He was like really nice. And I don't know how to forgive myself or whatever. And her parents, who are played by actors who have no reason to be in this movie, they're like two, it's like Josh Molina, and I don't remember the mom's name, but they're both recognizable actors.
They are.
It's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
they have their own little, they're like, oh my gosh, our daughter just talked to us moment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he comes running to her door and
obviously
has another
monologue about how he just wants to listen to her talk.
Theories. He says that he wants to hear all of her theories.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, are you a character in the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah,
tell me
they
your
are
theories.
Actually, and then someone jumps out of the bushes and says bazinga and then,
baby. That's quality TV right there.
And then it fades to black. He shows up at her house before she's going to school, and so decides to drive her, or she asks for a ride, whatever. And they don't really talk in the car, but she had made him like a mix of songs, and so she puts that on and they kind of just like continue not to talk. But like, they basically have reconciled. He drops her off. They have this moment where she's like, okay, well, we'll talk later. She walks away, and then she like turns around and runs to him as he's perched on his car, because that's what you do in high school movies, I guess. You just perch on your car.
Right.
I've never perched. Have you ever perched on your car?
Perched?
Like perched on the front of your car where it's like a slight
No,
lean.
It's dirty. The bugs are there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It only ever happens in high school movies.
Yeah.
Because I've never perched on my car.
Dude, my car is disgusting. I go and I do like the drive up groceries like at Target, and I feel so bad that the Target personnel
Why don't you just go
have
wash
to close
your car?
My truck.
There's these things called car washes. You don't even have to get out of your car.
Like, I have to spend money. It doesn't make the car run better. What am I doing?
Yeah, but it makes you less embarrassed when you have to go pick up food at Target.
Okay, I do that like twice a month.
So then wash your car twice a month.
Absolutely not. It's not going to happen. In Florida, this wasn't a problem because it rained every day.
Oh, that's true. I wash my car very frequently, so that's not a problem that I have. But it's just part of my mental illness, washing my car. So she runs back to him. They have a little smoocheroony while he perches on his car. And then she goes to school, I guess.
And that's it. And then they're, you know, I guess they were they're left to figure it out from there. We don't see more of it.
It's over. We only got the one weekend snapshot into their life.
Right.
Yeah. How'd you feel overall? You liked this movie? You didn't like this movie?
Yeah, I liked it. It was cute. Okay, I mean, I acknowledge very monologue-y.
Very monologue-y.
But overall, I think it was, there were some, like, a few insightful lines. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's not going to stand in my memory as, like, a great love story. Yeah. But it's, like, it was a cute teen rom-com.
I think it's one of the better virginity tales I agree. That I've ever seen. Simply because the entire plot is about the virginity. Is like,
it's so very, like, aware that it is a virginity right. tale.
Exactly.
And it's like, we're doing this on purpose.
Right. As opposed to Adventureland, where it's like, we're pretending it's about this, but really,
it's a fucking virginity tale.
He's losing his virginity.
Right.
But yeah, I think the movie is, like, cringe in a fun way. Because there were so many times I yelled at the TV when I watched it again. I was like, ah, don't say that. Why? Help. Help.
But I also, a lot of the stuff that they say, especially Aubrey and the stuff that she would say, mm-hmm. I'm like, I totally have said stuff like that because movies have led me to believe that's a kind of thing that you say. Yeah. Even though I wasn't actually feeling those things. Mm-hmm. Like, I've totally been in situations where I'm just pretending it's a love story.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's one of the rom complexes that I had mm-hmm. as a teen, and hopefully don't have anymore. But, you know, where it's like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to say in this scenario.
You're playing a character.
Exactly. I'm playing the character of the girl love interest, or the manic-pixie yeah. dream girl, or whatever. And you know what? To anyone listening, you don't gotta play a character. It's not a real love story if you're playing a character.
It's true.
You gotta be yourself.
Be yourself. Be yourself. That was it. That was the whole song.
I was like, what is this song I'm waiting for?
Yeah. No, that was it. That was the whole song. Find it on iTunes. Anyway, yeah, no, I agree. There were some moments that I thought were like, okay, so like Dave as a character is very like goofy and, you know, he's a romantic. He's kind of dopey. But there are moments in which he is incredibly hot, and I'm not even talking about the before the sex scene, because obviously the sex scene got a little awkward. Yeah. I'm not even talking about the walking up behind her and the hands and forearms that are are alive in that scene. At the very beginning, when they're in the alley and they're both sitting there, and a song comes on, and she's like, "Oh, I love this," or he's like, "Oh, I love this song," and she's like, "Oh yeah, I love this song too." And they're just like listening, and he's like, "Do you want to dance with me?"
Mm-hmm.
And at first she's like, no, that's fucking weird. And then she's like, okay, fine. And so they dance. And so she's starting to do that thing where she's like, oh, this is so, like, why did I agree to do this? This is so, she's like speaking out loud or yeah. thinking out loud. And he says, would you just deal with it? Yeah. I was like,
that is pretty hot.
Oh my God. Dylan O'Brien has this talent where he can turn it on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he is this goofy, funny, like, he has big facial expressions and, like, he's very into physical comedy, right? He's very, like, falling down all over the place and all this kind of stuff, and it's very fun to watch. But he can turn that shit on a dime. And I'm
I
like,
did notice hello? That at the end, too, with the car perch and making out, like, the way he was holding her, I was like,
I'm not
okay.
mad at it. I'm not mad at it. Right. They were dating when they, towards the end of filming this movie, like they started, they met at doing this movie and then they started dating. So, you know, got a lot of overlap right
Interesting.
There.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was it. The first time.
The first time, but not the last.
Not the last. Next week we'll be talking about Austin Land.
Oh yeah, baby. Very this is excited. My final pick for the month.
Sam's
and we're going Regency, obviously.
Sort of.
Faux Regency. Playtime Regency.
If you want to hear more about what we're doing, what we're up to, some nice little quotes and memes and videos of us, please check us out at The Rom Complex on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yeah, send us an email. Tell us about your day. Tell us about, you know, Dylan O'Brien's forearms. I would read an email if it was just about his hands and forearms. Draw us a picture. I don't give a shit. Email us, theromcomplex@gmail.com.
And most of all, keep falling in love.
with yourself.
Bye.
Okay, owl.